Blog Talk Radio.
It was the night before Christmas, and all through the woods, hunters were searching for cool Bigfoot goods. Best documentary, Bigfoot Lives, is the show. To searchingforbigfoot.com you should go. For hats and t-shirts and Sasquatch galore. It's all on sale now, shipped right to your door. Visit us now for that unique Bigfoot gift, and get a free collectible from now till the 25th. Hustle and bustle, these deals won't last long. Even Santa shops at searchingforbigfoot.com. Get a free Bigfoot Lives collectible while supplies last. Go to searchingforbigfoot.com.
This is Parafooter Jim. Hey, let's get plastered!
Bigfoot Radio Network presents The Footer's Field Guide with Parafooter Jim.
With casting a footprint, you want to mix some regular plaster of Paris to a buttermilk-like consistency. Not too thick. It needs to be light for a proper cure. The cure time could vary due to ground and weather conditions. If it's raining, cover it with a cloth to collect condensation, and then plastic to keep the rain off. Wait as long as possible to raise it, and make sure you take the surrounding ground as well. You just may find a hair sample.
What you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Star.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, good evening, everybody. As you know, Java Bob and Marco Bill and TJ are hosting the show. Tom is on business, and he will be back next week. We hope that you're going to enjoy the show. Part of it's going to be a carryover from last week, a little bit of discussions. We also have some very special guests on tonight. We have Dr. Michael Lynch. He's going to talk about some of the things he's working on for Tom. And we have a couple of people coming in with some newfound encounters about them. Java Bob, are you still out there, buddy?
You bet I am, boss, and it's good to hear your voice. Can you believe it's 2008? My golly, where'd the time go?
In our 72nd show. Did you know that? The 72nd show.
Amazing, isn't it? You know, I saw an article in a major paper that said this was the year of the Sasquatch. They said they had more talk about Sasquatch and Bigfoot in commercials and shows on TV and radio talk, and boy, the word is getting out there that this thing is really there. It's not just in people's imaginations.
I know. It's amazing, isn't it? And not only that, I think this is going to start our year in expeditions out with a big bang, especially the next one, upcoming one that's coming up here.
Oh, you better believe it. I mean, we're scheduled to take out of here probably next Monday. We'll be hitting the road or thereabouts and heading off to see what we can come up with. So I guess probably TJ and Steve and Jim Snell and all talk about that at the end of the show. Let everybody know what we have in mind.
Yeah, and you know, I got to tell you something. I got to tell everybody something here. Now, everybody knows, well, if you don't know Don Monroe, after you listen to him, you will. What a guy. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. I call him the other day to make sure that, you know, he's going to be able to make it on the show, right? I called him this morning to verify. He's on the side of a mountain hanging onto a suction cup. It's freezing, and he's answering the cell phone. And he says, I'm not sure how long I can hold on. My hands are getting cold. I might have to hang up.
Well, for those of you who don't know, now, I'm not a young man here. You know that, Marco Bell. I push myself to get out there and do the things we have to do to to look for this creature, and Don Monroe is old enough to be my dad. You know, so this guy amazes me. Not only is he just a character, but he's one of the last really true adventurers in the world. You know, when you're a kid growing up and you read these stories about these guys who take off and go everywhere in the world and go through all these different adventures, go out in the high seas, do everything, that's Don Monroe. I mean, a real individual, a heck of a guy, too. I really enjoyed talking to him.
Me, too. I mean, what a guy. I mean, every single time I talk to him, I just learn so many different things. He has been involved with so many different things. It's amazing.
Well, you got him out there?
I think, if he's not, he said he's got to make sure, one, he's got enough battery power on his cell phone, but if he's not online, Don, are you online right now? Okay, if he's not, we do have Robin Garrow, and we have also Roger and Kim Peterson, Kimberly Peterson, and they're online. We're going to continue the discussion basically from last week. We're talking about, Don was talking about a couple different things, but one of the things that interested everybody was the aspect of these creatures living near and around caves in each of the areas that were being discussed. And so we thought that might be an interesting discussion to kind of go off and start talking about. And Robin Garrow had been talking about some of the caves that he was discovered in his area there in Canada, up in Calgary.
Up near British Columbia.
Yeah. And Don, of course, he has his own area there that he keeps tabs on, and he was talking about the same thing. And then Roger and Kimberly were talking about or interested in talking about that same thing as well in their area. So anyway, we could start it off with Robin Garrow. And Rob, are you there? Oh, I'm sorry. Rob, you got to push your 6 button. I forgot to tell you.
How's that?
There we go. Hi, Rob.
How you doing,
Java Bob? How you doing? Very good, very good. So what's the weather up there over the border? What's it like right now?
It's snowing.
It's snowing.
It's
I bet
snowing
it is.
And cold. Well, it's not
yeah,
too
I bet
cold.
It is.
It's
well,
cold
you know,
enough that I could build a skating rink in my backyard for my boys, so cold enough.
That's cold. That's cold. Hey, yeah. You know, we were talking with Don Monroe and several other people about how often these creatures are found near caves. And the, one of Tom Biscardi's theories has been for many years that these animals not only live in caves, hold out in caves, but get into these cave systems and actually travel for miles and miles underground, which is why they're so hard to find. And I know that there are some really large cave systems around the country, around your part of the woods. They say that only less than 5% of all the cave systems in the world have been found, and out of that, only 2% of those have ever been explored. So it's a pretty big mystery what could be going on in these caves. So what are your feelings about that, and what do you hear about that up in British Columbia?
Well, when I was talking to Tom, he says some park rangers in Glacier Park there one day seen strange things up there, and these caves that I told you about go towards that way. They're quite a ways away, but this cave system that I live maybe 40 minutes away from it, and I didn't realize it was that big till a buddy told me. And yeah, I think they do. They hide in something like that, or these old mine shafts, or we used to have one close to where I live here, and one of my boys said the trail goes up the hill and there's caves up there. And as soon as the summer comes, I'll be heading up there on my motorbike, because it's not far from here to see what's up there. And it's right on top of the mountain. So, they have to hide because, you know, hunters and people, they say, well, I've been here for 20 years and I never seen something. And same with me, but that doesn't mean they're not out there. They're smart. And they have some kind of a system, just like Tom believes. They move at certain times of the year. Some guys around here even think they follow the deer or the elk for food. They migrate
well,
with them.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that. I know Tom's believes that they move north to south and then again south to north along with the weather as it changes, unless they're old or have found a little niche somewhere where they have everything they need, all
That's
the
right.
cover and stuff that they need. And
that's right.
I believe
like
that.
I see in your film there, Bigfoot Lives.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that a great film? What did you think of that film?
Well, I didn't see the whole thing. I just saw a good 20-minute intro of it. I haven't got it yet.
Oh, my goodness. You got to see it. It's wonderful. Yeah, we were out one year, and I was driving the truck, and Tom was looking at the map, and he says, you know what? He said, you see this area right here? We figured out about how much these creatures would travel in a given period of time. And he said, they were seen up here. I bet you the next call we're going to get is going to be from this area right over there. And, you know, within 45, 50 minutes of him telling me that, we got a phone call with his cell. They just had a sighting right in the place he said they were going to be.
So he knows exactly. You guys know.
Yeah, I think he's got it nailed down pretty good.
He knows. I believe he's right. They migrate. Like, they don't just sit around. They're on the move. And like he says, they probably hide in these caves, or they move lots at night. That's why you don't see them as much.
I believe that. You know, I've only been at this business for a couple of years, and I think my education has been accelerated in leaps and bounds because I get to go out and follow somebody who's got like 3 decades of experience at this, and I get to meet all the people he knows, which is amazing because many of the people he knows have been in the business just as long. So my education has grown in leaps and bounds much faster than I could have ever done on my own, and I'm really proud and happy to be able to hook onto his belt strings or whatever you want to call them and learn what I've learned. So
yep. And
I think we're, you know, last week we had in Minnesota they were talking about the iron mines and the caves that were I guess from Hibbing going north or something. And and Rob,
was in Hibbing was an old DuPont munitions factory with these old concrete buildings.
Oh, I see.
Plenty of water, and plenty of food. And sure enough, we had an encounter there.
Wow.
But the same kind of thing. The cave systems or bunkers or any place where they can get out underground a little bit and get out of the weather and hunker down for a time. I think when they migrate through, that's what they look for.
Wow.
That's right. Yeah, I think, like, in my area here, there's 5 coal mines, and they're all on the same mountain, the Rocky Mountain. And where this sighting that I told you guys a story where they saw a family of them, I'm just like Tom. I figured that they see this area and they go around and they'll go right around. If you were here, I'd show you. I'd take you right up there and show you where I think they'd go right around. And then there's a national park where there's not too many people. They probably go right in there, and then they go back to the south again. They just go back and forth.
Java Bob, I called to try to get a hold of Don, and I think maybe his cell phone battery went dead on him, and he's on top of a mountain.
There you go.
But one of the things
he
said...
You never know where he's going to be.
Well, you know...
You'll never know where he's going to be.
One of the things he said last week was, it just really... struck me kind of funny. It wasn't funny, but he said he entered one of his caves to do a little investigation in it, and something touched him. And I said, did you tell him Merry Christmas? he says, no, I just got the hell out of there.
Let me tell you, we've had a lot of time to sit and talk, and of course, Don Monroe is one of those other guys who can talk, let me tell you. But we've had him talk about having wildcats and cougars and everything jump right over him on the way out. He makes sure that he just ducks down, and they tend to leave him alone, just want to get out of there. But he's got some amazing stories to tell about getting into these caves and the things that he's found in there, just incredible. One time he told me about finding what looked like was probably an ostrich or emu carcass that was mummified in the back of one of these caves. Now, this is not some place where one of these things will go on its own. Something caught it and drug it up in there, and he did find handprints in that cave. Handprints, of course, that we believe was from our good buddy, Bigfoot.
Yep.
But pretty amazing stuff. This guy comes up with some great stuff. His Is Roger or
Kimberly?
A beautiful wife out there? Kimberly,
oh,
are you
yeah,
there?
We're here.
Hey, Roger, good to hear from you.
Hey, how you doing?
Real good. So what's your thought about the caves? I know that back in your neck of the woods, although a lot of it is desert and a place you'd never expect to find this, there are areas where there's very thick vegetation and a lot of pretty incredible rock formations. What's your theory there?
Well, I'll tell you what. From what I've done with investigations down through that area, I have found that one way that these creatures conceal their movements is that they follow the cow paths, believe it or not. And when the cattle come through, they go right over the top of the tracks, and you don't have a track where it beams. And also,
well, I'm sure that's quite true, because they're pretty clever.
Yes, they are. They're very clever. And, you know, just like your other guest was saying, that they follow the deer. Well, I kind of believe that, but as for a food source, most that I've found, they go after fish and clams and turtles, which are abundant in my area. And it's just like when you're out hunting deer, okay? How many hunters have told you the story, well, I didn't see him until he jumped over the top of me? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so what about the caves? Well, that's kind of what we're talking about.
Right.
Do you have any feeling about the caves?
Oh, yes, I do, because there are a lot of old abandoned mine shafts and natural caves up and down through the Painted Rock area. And I have found old footprints that were going down into the caves, and me by myself, I wasn't going to go in there alone. But I have found evidence that they do go and hang out in the caves a lot, especially when they're on the move through the area. So, yes, I do believe that this is something that's really prominent with these creatures.
Yeah, I believe that, too. I think two things that seem to be very closely connected when it comes to this creature are water, sources of water, and caves. And, you know, we went out to Oregon one time, far northern California, parts of southern Oregon, out near on the Rogue River. I don't know if you're familiar with that area. Because this guy talked, a guy named, I think his name was Jim Jenks. And he told us about an area where he actually saw a creature, and it would go under the water and enter a little cave, like where water was coming out, and disappear. And he saw it there several times. So here again, it was a cave and water. So I think there's a lot to be said about that.
Oh, yes, sir. And I've had...
Now, I know out there in the Painted Rock area where you are, there is a large body of water and some very heavy growth out there. It's like a... My understanding is like going into a jungle where the water meets all that sunshine.
Yes, sir, it is. And I've even had Border Patrol from Yuma that I had talked to, but they would not disclose their names because they were afraid of getting fired, that these creatures do most of their moving at night. And evidently, in 2002, these two Border Patrol had one of their sensors go off, and they said it was the biggest Mexican they ever saw, but it turned out that they were chasing a Bigfoot. And
amazing.
It was very, very fast, and it finally got away from them. But, I mean, you know, the thing is, they're mostly nocturnal, and during the day when they rest, they have a sentinel out that's watching to make sure, just like a female deer will sit out and watch, and she'll lead you away. That's exactly what their sentinel tries to do.
My goodness. Well, you know, Marco Bill?
Yes.
I believe we have Greg Worthington around here somewhere, don't we? He wants to share a recent encounter that Ramona Gardner down there in Alabama shared with him. And we weren't able to get a hold of a Ramona, but I think we got a hold of
Greg,
didn't we?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
And Greg's on the line. Hi, Greg.
Well, there you go, Greg. How you doing?
Roger and Kimberly and Rob, thank you so much. Just push your sixth button and enjoy the rest of the show. A little later on, Dr. Lynch is going to be on. He's got some neat things he's going to say, and we got our surprise guest.
Hey, not a problem. It's always a privilege.
I'm sorry, Jabba Bob. I didn't mean to break up.
That's all right. I was a little rude not to say that. So, Greg.
Yeah.
Are you there? Yeah. So,
can you hear me?
Tell us. Yes, sir. So, once again, we're hearing stuff from Alabama. You know, there's stuff been going on in Alabama for quite a while, but not many people were talking about it. And once we went down there and people started to realize this is serious stuff, and it's not just for, it's not just wackos we're talking about. They're regular people every day having these kind of experiences. They're coming out and they're talking about it a lot more often. And I understand you have a story to share with us about Ramona Garner and her experience.
Yeah, well, Ramona was on y'all's show a couple of weeks ago. And Bill just called and asked if I would share how I found Ramona. And I believe, by the way I found her, that this is a true, legit sighting because of the incident that happened. But what happened is, see, I buy and sell college textbooks, Bob, and a week, see, I was down in Enterprise, Alabama here with Tom and the guys here, a few weeks ago. And then the very next week after I was there with them out in the field, I was doing my job there in Dothan, Alabama at Wallace Community College, buying textbooks from the students in the hallway there. And my second day there, sitting there, I was closing up my table for the day and carrying my stuff out to the truck to close up for the day. And two of the custodians for the college were out in the yard there and see me walk by. And one of them says, he looks over and points to me. He says, "Hey," he says, "didn't I see you on the news last week hunting Bigfoot?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I thought that was you." And he started shaking his head and walking around in a circle and kicking the dirt. He says, "Man," says, "I ain't going to mess with that thing." He says, "I don't want nothing to do with him." He says, "You can have all you want." He says, I ain't bothering him. So, and, oh, he, you know, he was just...
Sounds like a wise man.
He was a little animated about it, but the other gentleman standing there, he was leaning up against the truck, and he never said nothing. He was very quiet. His expression on his face, I noticed, never changed. He just was just kind of looking at me, you know, and he didn't make fun of me or anything, or, you know. And so I just kind of talked to him for a couple minutes and shared what went on over there the previous week, and I went on and finished loading my truck up. Well, then the very next day, when I was closing up my table the next day after this happened, that quiet man leaning on the truck come to my table. And he says, "I don't know if this is worth mentioning," he said, "but my girlfriend told me this one time that she saw something." He said, "And I just thought it was nothing to it, and I just kind of brushed it off." I said, "Well, tell me about it. What'd you see?" He said, "Well, she come home one day just scared to death. She said she saw some creature that was covered in hair, and she was scared to death." And I said, "Well, I'd like to talk to her." So about the next week, I got her on the phone, and she told me what happened. She told me, and when she got me on the phone and started talking to me about it, she was like, she was relieved that I was listening to her and believing her story, you know. Because,
you know, that happens pretty often.
And she said she'd been telling people for this this story for a year and a half, and no one believed her. And she started telling this story how her brother was out of town for the week, and she was at her brother's house, which is a little north of Enterprise where we were at the previous week. And she said she was over at his house, cleaning his house up, taking care of it because they were gone for the week. And she said she was cleaning out the refrigerator. And she took a bunch of old food out of the refrigerator and walked out of the house to an embankment somewhere near the house there and threw the food down this embankment. And I guess she had to go get a second load So she, when she went back the second time to that embankment, she looked down that embankment. She said, she told me that there was a large, hairy man down there eating those groceries that she threw out. And she said he never stopped eating. He just kept, he kept right on eating and looking at her while he was eating. And I said, you saw this creature in the face? And I said, this is in the daytime. She says, yeah, in the daytime. She said, and I saw him in the face. I said, well, what did it look like? She said, he looked like a cross between a human and an ape, between the two.
My goodness.
And said he was completely covered in hair. And she said it scared, she said it scared the hell out of her. Said she run back in the house and locked all the doors. And she said it scared her so bad that she was afraid to go to her car to leave when she got done, you know, because cleaning her brother's house, she didn't want to go outside. So she told me she called somebody to come meet her there to walk her from the house to the car so she could leave. And then no one believed her story, what she saw. And she told me last time I talked to her that her brother and sister-in-law still don't believe her story. She said, but if they ever see this creature, she says, I know one thing, she says, they'll move. But,
yeah,
but
I bet.
She said to this day they don't believe her story. But her son, she told me that her son didn't believe her story. And she said, she told me that her son is 30 years old, he's in the military, and is not afraid of nothing. Said he has a deer stand out in the woods behind this house, behind her brother's house. And he went out, went hunting one day, went out there early in the morning to go to his deer stand, said he never came back. All day long, he never come out of the woods. So it started getting late in the day, you know, and they knew he should have been back by now. They hadn't seen him all day. They got worried about him, so they went out to his tree stand to find him. They got out there, and he was still sitting in his tree stand and wouldn't come down until they got there. He come down out of the tree stand and told his mom that he saw what she saw. And he wasn't coming out of that, down out of that tree stand until, you know. And my wife, when she was telling me this story, my wife was sitting in the truck. Well, she was relaying this story to me that night, and my wife said, well, didn't he have a gun? You know, but even with a gun, he was scared of this creature. And
well, you know, you spend your whole life with people telling you this can't be, and so when you do see it, I know it was the same with me. I saw it, and I had to stop and think to myself, did I really see what I thought I saw? Because my whole life I've been told it's not possible, but there it is. There it is, and that's a pretty tough thing to swallow, especially when you're scared to begin with. You see something that's just not supposed to be there, and then you try and tell somebody about it, and they laugh. It's a terrible situation.
But she said he believes her now. And
I bet he does.
And I asked her, I said, well, does he go out hunting? Does he go out to the woods and go hunting now? He said, yeah, but the only way he'll do it is if somebody goes with him. And he will not go to the woods by himself.
Isn't that something?
And I don't blame him a bit.
Yeah, well, the way I found Ramona, you know, I believe her story's real because her boyfriend wasn't making fun of me that day. He come to me with something to share that he didn't believe. But he shared it with me so I could talk to his girlfriend, you know. And I believe she saw something. And whether he believes it or not, she tells me she saw something. I believe she saw something. And
well, Greg, it sounds like you're probably calling it correctly. It sounds to me by that story that here's somebody's not out to get a lot of attention, is even having trouble getting the idea across. And people don't like to set themselves up for that kind of ridicule for no reason. She saw something and she's trying to tell everybody. She's having a hard time getting it heard. And because people like you are willing to stand up and say, hey, you know, don't feel like a lone ranger here. A lot of people are seeing these things and taking it seriously. I mean, I'm sure that makes her feel a lot better having somebody she can talk to. And Greg, we appreciate you being able to do that for her. That was a great thing you did.
And I have a friend of ours, a good friend of ours, I just found out recently that they saw one of these creatures about 10 years ago. And I talked to the lady last week. I talked to her last week, and she told me that her and her son was driving up from Union Springs, Alabama, one night. Her son was driving, and they noticed something down in the ditch. And they didn't know what it was, and so her son slowed down to see what it was in the ditch. And she, as they approached it, you know, they were slowing down and approaching this thing in the ditch, she says, it stood up. And she said, with it standing in the ditch and it standing up in the ditch, she said they could see the thing in the face. She said that's how big it was. And
wow.
And from her story, from what she told me, I believe she really saw this creature because, see, from what I'm learning, that's how these creatures hide. They squat. And then when the vehicle started slowing down, they said, hey, I've been seen, you know. I'm going to just let them know I'm here. And it stood up. They let him have. They let him have the bitch. They left, you know.
Wow.
But she said it scared her to death, and she don't know what it was she saw. Her son saw it. He don't know what he saw, but they saw enough, and they left.
Wow. You know, Greg, I really appreciate you taking the time to share these stories with us. It's fascinating, and it's great that you can be there to help these people because, you know, people have been talking about this thing for decades, and people just don't know there's people out there who really want to hear about this because we believe it's there. And one of these days, real soon, if Tom Biscardi has his way, we're going to be able to prove it to the world.
Well,
so,
Tom gave me, when I went out in the field with him that night, he gave me a cap, you know, searching for Bigfoot, you know, cap. And
uh-huh,
I wear
uh-huh
that cap as much as I can because, you know, I figure if I wear that cap, somebody's going to read that cap and either they're going to make fun of me for wearing the cap or they might share a Bigfoot story with me.
That's exactly right. That's something we found. Well, Greg, I appreciate the story. We have a surprise guest coming in. So if you want to press your six button and listen into the rest of the show, we'll find out who the surprise is. And maybe call you back later on in the show.
We sure do. We appreciate it, Bob.
Thank you, Greg.
Well,
thank
you so much, Greg.
And Jabba Bob, it's time now to reveal our surprise guest. Surprise guest, are you there?
What up, dog? Hell yeah, I'm here.
Oh, it's the boss.
Hello, boys. How are you?
Happy wonderful.
New Year, everybody out there. Yeah, well, I'm sure our regulars are out there in the chat room. Bill Green and Bruce the Shoop Snake Man and Woman on Thin Ice Lee and Charlene and JC and all Dave. Dave O and all the people, to all you guys out there, a good, happy New Year, prosperous New Year to everybody. You know, I was just listening there on the tail end of Greg Worthington, great guy. You know, he called when we were down there in Alabama and asked if he can come along. And like I extend that invitation to everybody out there all over the country. Whenever we roll into a town, you're more than welcome to come out there and see how we roll and how we do things. You'll see it when we see it, how we see it, and what we do. And that Greg will tell you, or anybody else who's been out there in the field with us. But I got to tell you this. We have so many exciting things, gentlemen, ladies out there in this Bigfoot world of ours, coming this year. As a matter of fact, Jabba Bob is going to be coming out just next week. I can't believe how the time is just pressing on. I think today's the 2nd, isn't it, guys?
That's it.
Yes, sir.
It is. Okay. So we'll be hitting the road on the 7th or the 8th, which is next week. And I'm going to tell you, it'll be Jabba Bob, Steve-O, TJ, myself, you know, normal crew guys that are coming out. And you know what? This is going to be, it's going to be great in 08, let me tell you, because we're going
to... I like
there.
That.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be great in 08, and we
perfect
are going to be out in some territory, okay, that we've checked out. We scoped it a little bit back there last month, okay? So we've made some new friends. We've jotted and charted some new areas that are going to be hot areas go out to, and I'm going to tell you guys something. We've got a family out there in Alabama, just 40 miles to where we were, south of us, as a matter of fact, They got 500 acres. These people down there have really confided in us. On a trail trip camera where they hunt on this 500 acres of land, they got this picture, shows hairy legs, huge hairy legs, okay? And a lot of weird things going out there. And this poor gal is fears for her grandmother and her mama's life, who live out there by themselves. Well, we got our associates who are out there, and they're there now. What? Hold on, guys. I got people here asking me for my autograph. Just tell them I'll be right there. I got my crew out here and everybody on the radio. I'll be right there. Okay. Just tell them to. I believe this. I don't believe it. Okay, hold on. I'm going to tell everybody. Just tell them to go to BigfootLiveRadioShow.com. All right, and tell them they can go on there now. I'm in a strange town, guys, and people hearing about the Bigfoot, and right away they're coming up asking for autographs. Thank
no
you
time.
Very much.
They must have heard it's going to be great in 08.
Well, I'm telling you, you bet. It's going to be great in 08. Hi, Kimberly. How's
Hello.
Roger?
He's right here on the phone with me.
Okay, well, let me just finish what I was going to say, okay? So I don't forget it. Remember, I'm old now, okay?
No, you're not.
Now, let me tell you something. I bet you everybody out there don't know the answer to this question. On January 1st of every year, there's a species of animal that all changes the same age. Do you know who that species of animal is?
No.
Jack Benny.
You would say something like that, but you.
Okay, well, here it is. Here it is. Here's the dummy of the group, and I know this. Horses. Horses all turn the same age January 1st of every year. That's their birthday. Horses all have the same birthday every year, and it's January 1st. Every horse has the same birthday.
Wow.
I thought that's just a little tidbit for you guys to know. But nevertheless, I want to get back to this woman, and she's doing such a heroic thing. She called the Bigfoot hunter and his team. We're going out there, and we've got the 500 acres to get out there and explore. And I got to tell you, she won't allow anybody out there hunting now. She cares. She brought guns to their house because they fear for the life of the mother and the grandmother. And they called us, Bob and Bill. Can you imagine how wonderful that makes me feel? It should make you feel just as wonderful.
Well, Tom, that's what family's about.
Yeah. Well, you bet it is, Bob. And you know, it's a long time coming, but we've crossed over, I really believe, to mainstream America, and we're making it all happen right now. And the beautiful thing about it is everybody is coming to the front. Everybody is out there seeing us, hearing us, telling the stories. You know, Greg Worthington just said probably one of the nicest things you can ever say, and it's true. And what he said was that he wears the cap, all right? And when he wore the cap, he says it's his searching for Bigfoot. Either they'll come up and make fun to him, or they'll share a story. And you know what? 9 out of 10 times, each and every body will come out there and share their stories. That's what it's all about. And by the way, if anybody gets out there to Desert Hot Springs next to Palm Springs, there's a great, great Chinese restaurant. You guys know I love Chinese food. Come to Kamlun. Oh, yeah. It's Kamlun. You ask for Joyce, and I'll guarantee you this. She will take care of you, and she'll give you the Bigfoot delight. Okay? You come in and you stop and see Kamlun. Okay? They got the greatest restaurant in the world.
And, you know, coming from Tom, that's quite a compliment because he's a Chinese food expert. Every time we go out, we have to stop at least once at a new Oriental restaurant that we hadn't eaten at before. Every time.
Ain't that the truth, Bobby?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And you know, like I said, you come here to the Kamlun restaurant right here in Desert Hot Springs, and you're here with the greatest people in the world. Just ask for Joyce. She'll give you the Bigfoot delight, and she'll take care of each and every one of you. But nevertheless, fellas, what I want to tell you is this. this year, we have so many things coming down the pike. I can't wait. And Roger and Kimberly, here, this is for you. Our first stop is White River, Arizona. So we'll be there around the 10th. So if you want to come out and say hi and meet our connection up there with the Apaches, come on and do so, because I was up there last month, a few days before or after when we had rolled through. So you guys, you're more than welcome. You know that. You're part of our family. And listen, I don't mean to interrupt your show. You're doing a great job while I'm gone. I can't wait to get back in the saddle myself next week. You guys out there in Bigfoot, we've got some great stories to tell you and share with you next week. There are just too many. We'll have to do 10 episodes for what we've piled up in the last 2 weeks. But the boys have been really handling it, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Jabba Bob, TJ, and Marco Bill, what can I say? Where would we be without you? But
well, thank you for that, Tom, but there's nobody here who can fill your shoes, so we're all waiting for you to come back and can't wait and take us over. We're having a ball and we're having fun doing this, but nobody can do it the way you do.
Well, thanks, B. JB. Look, you guys just have a good time tonight, and I understand you got Michael Lynch on.
Well, Tom, I was going to ask you if you, Dr. Lynch, you there? Dr. Lynch.
Yes, I'm here.
There you go. Tom, Dr. Lynch.
Hey, Mikey, how are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, gentlemen.
I got your secret email.
Oh, good. Very good.
Wait a minute. No, wait. It said super top secret.
Above top secret.
Above top. That's it. Yeah. That's it. You know,
tell
you intelligent guys. You can call come up with these big words. But I want to tell you something. I did read it, and I'm anxious as hell. I can't wait till we hook up. I can't wait to see this new device. But don't say nothing. Don't talk about it, man, because I don't want anybody to know anything about it until we get it to perfection and really work. Okay, Mikey?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And by the way, I got an email from one of your favorite admirers, one of our paranormal guys, Jimmy Snell. And this poor guy, I think he peed his pants, to tell you the truth. When he heard that you were on the show, he says, I've met anybody, but he's the top of the heap, Tom. And I said, you're kidding. He says, yeah. He says, oh, man, I want to talk to him. I can't wait. And I says, cool. I says, I know a guy that's got a main line into him. His name is Bill Marlette. So you call Bill, and Bill will straighten it up. Did you take care of that for him, Bill?
You darn tootin'. In fact, if Jimmy's on tonight, we're going to interface.
I had to call him as well and promise him that we'd get him in so he could meet and talk to Dr. Lynch. So he's just thrilled about it.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Hey, listen, Mikey, I haven't ignored you. I've read every one of your emails. Okay. I can't wait to see. What day are we looking at now?
Well, we're still looking at the 7th. I've just got this new piece in, and I'm going to reroute the battery supply so that I guarantee you 240 feet. I'm going to make sure you get 240 feet. And once I do that,
well, to the 600 feet.
Doc. So I got an idea for that. I've got a very serious idea for how we can get multiple layers around this area. And I think we can do it. I think we can light up an entire forest. Again, if we can pull them in, I think we'll be able to get whatever we want. I have very good ideas on this.
Well, I'm going to tell you this, Doc, and you take this to the bank, all right?
Okay.
We're on the migrational path.
Yes.
It's coming to fruition like you would not believe. We have, at the present time, clocked these things and where they're moving and where they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And on two of our stops out where we're going right now, the team's going to be spending some real quality time. As a matter of fact, they're going to be 10 days to 2 weeks in one of the areas where we really feel confident where the things are going to be migrating through.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is about a week's time. So I just hope that thing works because I'm ready.
Yes.
Wouldn't this be great, fellas? Think about this. Okay, it's going to be great in 08 with Mr. Monster Mash himself, Bigfoot. We're going to bring him back, man. That's what it's all about.
That's true. That's what it's all about. So what I'm working on right now, I should have done by this week, and I will FedEx it out to you. So if to the address you gave me. So now there's a change in plans, but I will try to get it done. And if you get it by Monday of next week, that's the due date. So
that's fine. What I'll probably do is I'll probably have you just send it up to the reservation,
okay.
Right to the council. Okay,
yeah, sounds great.
But I'll call you the day before and give you all the details. All
yeah,
right?
or send me an email or whatever you want to do, and we'll go from there.
Okay. You got it, Mike. Listen, God bless. Thank you for all your help. I don't want to cut into your time on the radio.
Oh, that's okay.
All my listeners out there can't wait to hear what you got to say, all your new innovations and everything else. Boys, have a good time. Bobby, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bill, I'll talk tomorrow. And
okay.
Roger
okay.
And Kimmy, God bless you guys and Happy New Year to both of you. Bye-bye to everybody out there in the room.
See bye, you. Tom.
Thank you, boss.
Okay.
Well, Dr. Lynch, how are you tonight?
Doing real good. Doing real good. I'm just looking over the last details of what I'm going to send you guys. And hopefully, it's the power requirement. Hopefully, I will still make it easy enough to handle and light enough to be very mobile and versatile with.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we're looking at now. Either we're going to put in a bank of batteries, multiple, individualized batteries, so they can be easily replaced and recharged. Or what we'll do is we're trying to avoid one major battery system, so because that will just take too much time to recharge it and things like that. We'll have to send you multiple batteries. So that's the only thing sending our way right now. I've got it wired. It's ready to go. And I could have a little more time with it, make it a little more pretty, but I will do everything I can to level the playing field for you guys, like I said last week. And I know the constraints of carrying heavy equipment out into the field. And like I said, I've walked in Tom's shoes a million miles, but never looking for Bigfoot. You know, I've left that up to trackers and explorers of a different field. You know, cryptozoology, I've always had my hands in. But you guys are the real on-the-ground investigators, so I'll do whatever I can to help you guys out. And your stories about the caves and things like that, that's just fascinating research. That never really crossed my mind, even though I knew that Bigfoot hunkered down around rocks and cliffs quite a bit. So that's a very fascinating.
Dr. Lynch, we're walking down a road that not many people have walked before, so everything we find is new and exciting and deserves a lot of investigation. I mean, there's nothing that's pat and simple and it just coming out of a book somewhere. We've got to figure this out as we go.
Oh yeah.
And
once you
any kind of the help we get here, I understand this is going to help us see things that we've never been able to see before, and we're so excited about this. And,
yeah.
And getting somebody of your caliber interested in what we're doing and jumping in and giving us a hand is just fantastic. I mean.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about it. I can hardly talk.
Yeah. Well, I've got I've got some plans. So if we can get them where they're portable and manageable, and it can really be an asset, then they'll be easy to construct, easy to deploy, and this is going to give you another edge. The thing is that I'm not sure how sensitive Bigfoot really is. He's probably incredibly sensitive, like all animals in the wild. So camouflage is now what I'm concentrating on how to camouflage all this equipment so that it's not seen, by the average Bigfoot. And that's the next step we're going to take is how to camouflage it.
Well, Dr. Lynch,
I kind of think he's capable of seeing IR as well.
Mm-hmm.
I just had that feeling because I've seen one have IR cameras up and things, and he'll walk around them.
Hmm.
So I get the feeling. And I understand there's several predators that can do that because some of their natural prey, rodents and things like that, often leave a urine trail, which fluoresces in IR. So
That's true.
It's something that might be more common than we think out there.
Well,
yeah.
Dr. Lynch and Jabba Bob, one of the things I talked with Dr. Lynch about earlier was also – he's looking for some more background information type of thing and how we do things. And I thought it'd be a very good thing to put him in touch with you, TJ, Jim Snell, and also Steve Culls, and just on a conference and just kind of talk things so he can get some more information, ask questions, and you guys get you're ready to. I mean, you have a plethora of background
That'd
of information.
That'd be a great idea.
And yeah. That's what he's trying to draw. He's trying to draw information.
And you know what else?
Yeah.
You better get Jim Snell on here before he bursts. Because,
Jimmy, are you on the line?
I am.
Well, Jim, here's this is Dr. Michael Lynch.
Hey,
Dr.
Jim,
Michael Lynch, Jim Snell.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Good. It's cool to have another parafooter in the group.
Yeah, it is good. It is good.
You know, when I started... Oh, well, go ahead.
No, go ahead,
I was just going to say, when I started doing crypto research, I wanted to bring a lot of the stuff that we're using now in the paranormal field as far as electronics and things, you know, basically what we're talking about. The tools that we use in the paranormal field, a lot of them can be quite effective in the Bigfoot investigation as well.
Right. Right. I think, well, see, the only difference is that what we're doing in the paranormal research is virtually invisible. I mean, it's an invisible entity, and we have to draw it out by sending out multiple frequencies in order to capture it. The Bigfoot is solid. Now, the only thing that Bigfoot that I see as a problem is that the Bigfoot's not going to reflect a lot of light. So what you have to do is go closer to its body temperature, and like any animal with a thick fur, in the nighttime, what you're going to do is capture its shadow or its thermal signature. So the logical explanation for me was to make sure that you have an infrared array that is bright enough and powerful enough to be able to capture, if not his body silhouette or his body, but actually his heat signature as he's going through. Now, the infrared that I'm working with, this has been my problem, is that it's so powerful, it's so bright, that if he's in the cold temperature, you'll be able to see his breath. And that's how I'm looking at this. In the paranormal research that I have done, I've never gone over 65 feet. Because we do a lot of this stuff indoors. We do it down hallways, you know, high schools, things like that, and we're looking for a very elusive situation. But with Bigfoot, what we have is obstacles in the way. So we have to reduce the trees, the brush, and things like that, and go for what is actually out there. And I've handled everything from the military's some of the military's infrared stuff, which is $120,000 infrared cameras and infrared sensors, and I still don't feel that's the best way to go about it. What a person needs is something he can carry, something that's lightweight, and something that's incredibly powerful for a limited time, and something that he can recharge or replace in the field, and that's kind of what I built for our paranormal stuff, and it worked incredibly well. But what I want to do now in the Bigfoot category, again, I think a lot of this will overlap because of the elusiveness of the character, but I think if we can make the equipment powerful enough, and again, invisible to the creature so he can't see it, and we may have to go beyond 880, we may go into like 920 nanometers or 950 nanometer range and set up multiple layers throughout the forest, then I think we can get it. But we still have to draw it out. You see, that's the only question that I have. Can we draw out Bigfoot into the open long enough to do what we really want to do?
Well, if we have an attractive enough bait, yeah, and you're right, that is the only way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has such a huge advantage over us in the brush. You could, you know, run past 12 of them and not even know it. Run underneath them as they're in trees. You really need to draw it into a controlled environment because that's the only way you're going to be able to manipulate it in any way other than just seeing it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now,
but
of course,
the thermal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was just going to say the thermal imaging is by far my favorite tool in this in the field. Mm-hmm. It does have some disadvantages, but all in all, it gives you the best result for pinning something down and getting a nice signature. Some trees and rocks and things like that will also retain heat and reflect them later on too.
Right.
But
what I will do if I ever get a chance to get with Tom, I have a whole battery of you might say psychics, and that can technically remote view certain areas. And so
if I
give them a map of the area, they can tell me if there's a Bigfoot in the area. They can tell me what sex it is, male or female, and about how far it is away from the primary target. So that would also reduce the amount of time in during the investigation. Instead of having a shotgun approach, I could pull out virtually Google Maps on a computer, on a laptop, and they could virtually douse or technical remote view the entire area, and then be able to give me a precise or just about a precise coordinate on a moving target. And then that will also reduce the amount of time actually in the field. And so that's what I do a lot. I work a lot with psychics. I work a lot with people who can douse, people who can do many astonishing things. And by pulling the paranormal into this genre, you might get an extra sensory step in how to deal with this. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, you know, you got to think and try everything.
Mm-hmm.
And keep an open mind about it all, because you never know what's going to be the catalyst for another chunk of information.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, a lot of it's going to be legwork. I think a lot of this is going to be legwork and people with dedication going out and doing this and this stuff, you know, step by step. But in our cases that we have handled on a very large scale, if we have a large amount of ground to cover, and this happened just last summer, I went out on a Bigfoot expedition with some full-time Bigfoot hunters, and we got there, and we got to the areas where the Bigfoot had actually made these huts, you might say. I don't know what they call them. They pull these limbs down, and they stack limbs on top of it.
Right.
And that's where they bed down at night or whatever. And anyway, so I was out there, and one of them turned to me and said, "Do you think there's a Bigfoot here, you know, still around?" And I said, "Well, I don't know." So I picked up my cell phone, I called it in, I talked to one of my psychics, and I said, "Hey, I'm out here in the middle of nowhere." And I said, "Can you tell me if there's a Bigfoot nearby?" And they said, "Yeah, within 200 yards, so this will be a Bigfoot. It's a female Bigfoot 200 yards to your north." Now, there is no way I could cut through that jungle. You know, I could barely cut through that jungle at 50 yards, you know what I'm saying? But
right.
At least it was a confirmation that there was something there, and something was still in the area. So so that helps. That helps out quite a bit.
Man, I'll tell you, this is really interesting.
Yeah.
You know, Dr. Lynch,
speaking
could
of the
I?
Same kind of,
I'm sorry.
Speaking of the same kind of things here, I was watching a special on TV about how the law enforcement is now getting very interested in psychic detectives because they've had such a high success rate.
Right.
So this is one of the things that, just like Bigfoot phenomena, before I got involved, I was very skeptical. But I've since learned to really keep an open mind and don't ignore it. Get involved and see for yourself, because if it's anything like the experiences I've had with looking for this creature, if you really look and if you pay attention and you use good common sense and keep your wits about you, many times you find out that this stuff is very real and very credible. It's just outside of the, it's kind of a paradigm. People just assume it can't be because they never learned about it.
Exactly.
So
with my team, we've cut most investigation time down to about one-fourth. So we spend about one-fourth amount of the time in the field because we're using a wide variety of different resources in order to get the information that we need. So we may get a resource from the investigator, from the eyewitness. That's standard operation. But then we take the next step into the psychic levels. And like I said, we can work with several different psychics at several different talents. And they can also bring in more information to fill out the pictures that we don't really see. And then we coordinate that into what we would call a direct investigation. So you'd be surprised. Our results are incredibly high.
I'm sure. Well, I'm really excited about this, too.
You know what? We have
Marco Bill, we have a caller. We're not out of time, are we?
Well, we are, but we're going to have to go to overtime. I've got a caller on the line. I'd like to take his call. Area code 903, you're on Bigfoot Live Radio with Java Bob, Marco Bill, TJ, and also Dr. Michael Lynch.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, Bigfoot hunters.
Oh, hey.
Well, Happy New Year.
This is the Snake Man.
I know. Happy New Year.
I just wanted to call and say hey and wish you all the best and wish you luck on your next adventure.
Well, thank you, sir. Dr. Lynch, this is a gentleman who goes around and has been out on expedition with us before in areas where there's a lot of hazardous animals and snakes and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go through and clear the area for us before we go. We met him out in Texas. He's one of the only licensed reptile wranglers in the state of Texas. And we just struck up a real good friendship, and he's been following our exploits ever since. It's always a pleasure to hear from him. So
that's great. That's great.
That's it. That's who we're talking to.
Well, thank you very much.
Good guy to have on your patrol team.
Yeah.
You better believe it.
Well, Java Bob and Dr. Lynch. Dr. Lynch, could I, before, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. I'm sure.
Thank you very much, Jim. Just
but
call me anytime. And
Can we, well, before I lose you, is there a time tomorrow that would be convenient for you to have a conference? And I'll try to set it up with all the other guys.
Yeah, that'd be no problem. Tomorrow afternoon would probably work a little bit better for myself.
Just give me a time, and I'll try to make the arrangements after the show.
Okay, it'd probably be about, I'd say around 6 o'clock my time.
You got it, Central Time, 6 o'clock Central Time. Thank you.
Okay.
Doctor, thank you so much for coming on, and I appreciate
it. Thank you. Not a problem. We're doing our best to make your life easier.
Oh, I know you are.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to the opportunity to work with some of your ideas, and and I'm sure they'll be fruitful. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, Java Bob. Java Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
TJ, Steve Calls, Jim Snell. You guys, we're going to go overtime here, but just to let you guys describe the what's coming up on the next expedition. Go ahead, TJ.
Hey there, Marco. How's everybody doing? Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, brother.
Well, you know, we're getting ready to go out here on the next expedition, and we're going to do a little bit more hardcore investigating in the certain areas in which we were at, like in Alabama and Louisiana. Pop pretty much gave it all away. We're going to be going down and spending probably 15 days out in Alabama. And more of the smaller groups in the areas that are being visited by the creatures so that we can possibly get a visual or even, you know, most likely capture set the traps up, video capture or, audio capture. And just kind of do it a little bit differently than, you know, bringing large numbers of people to see what they can find. You know what I mean, Steve-O? I guess Stevie's not with us tonight. But we've been moving out in the woods. We've had a big crew with us, and we want to try to keep it a little bit more of a two-man, three-man team going out into certain areas and making sure what we do is going to be more documentary and getting the video, getting the audio, if the creature is there. That way we're not going to be so intrusive in the area. More of like a little recon area. Snoop and poop.
Well, we're real excited about this. And, you know, TJ has a lot of experience at this. And normally, a lot of times when we go, it's the first time there to check things out. A lot of people have asked us, you know, how are you going to find something in a few short days? Really, if it's there, we'll find it. If it's not there right at that time, we'll get a feel for the area and we'll come back and do a more intensive and thorough search. And that's what we're doing this time. So TJ's got the helm and he's got us all set up and got everything planned out, the best way to do this. And we're very excited about it and very hopeful that it'll be very productive.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, we're gonna get out there, and this will be our third trip there. And we're not going to spend the time or effort to go back to a spot third time unless, you know, we know that there's something there. We just want to make sure that we're not missing anything. And like we're hoping, staying there more time, instead of staying a week, we'll stay 2 weeks. Hopefully the creature will get used to us being in the area. We'll become more curious. And we've got some, you know, ideas on trying to lure the creature towards us, you know, that we're going to use and see if they work. They're going to be new. It's just, you know, landmark stuff that we're going to get out there and test.
I'm excited about it, TJ. I really am. And I'm glad I'm able to go. You know, I was out of the loop there for a while because I had hurt my back. I don't know whether it was from something I did out in the field or just what it was, but I actually got a, my back was so far out that it pinched a nerve, and my my left leg would just collapse on me. And it kind of scared me, but I went to a, a chiropractor here in the area, and my golly, he's got me up and around, and I'm even taller now because he took all the crinks and kinks out of my back, and I'm raring to go. I'm out walking every day, and so I'm getting back out in the field. I can't stand this sitting around home. And,
I got to say that. Can't
wait to be out with the team.
Can't wait to get you back out. Hey, Marco, looks like it's that time again.
Yep, we're ready to go. It's I want to send you guys an email there after the show, and I'll have all the information you need to have a conference, and then I'll just give you a call tomorrow to make sure that we don't need to change anything, okay?
All right. So I'll need to see my guy here. All you Bigfooters out there, my ears, my eyes, my nose, until next week, waka, 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 waka.
Java Bob are from the tree, does it?
No.
Jimmy Snell, Java Bob. TJ, look forward to a wonderful year, and I think big things are going to happen. So,
outstanding. Thank you, Marco Bell, and we appreciate all you've done, and what a great job you've done with this show, and we thank you, and I'm sure our listening audience thanks you.
Well, then now it's time to say so long until next week. And now, next week, Tom is going to be back, right? So
yeah, we have great things, and looking for what, how do you say it? Looking for a great in 2008, something like
that's
that.
That's it, something great in 2008.
There you go, something great in 2008.
Good night.
Go.
Good night, everybody.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We brought them together, reason for the facts.